welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I think the only question I gotta say that pretty much sums up the entire direct is, are you okay? Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty much just trying to compose myself on, again, Terry and, of all the memes, Sans. I mean, like, wowzers.
Oh yeah, we go. I didn't see that because of reasons I'll explain a little bit later. But yeah, I was surprised to hear Undertale in Smash Brothers in that capacity at least. So, I'm surprised you weren't gonna say I'm really feeling it. No? Okay.
I mean, like, unfortunately, I never had the fortune to play the original. I have the Wii U copy in my Wii. But I never actually have managed to play it. I mean, I really want to play this.
I know. All right, and also here is Tellius Tyler.
I was so painful to be quiet for that long.
I know.
Well, I am in the same boat as you. I got Xenoblade, and I never played it. I haven't. It's still in the plastic for me.
Shock.
But listen, I'm going to surprise you guys.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to get this. Because I've heard one is better than two. So... I'm going to get it. I should watch videos of it before I decide to get it. I should watch some videos and then determine whether I'm going to get it or not. But, yes. Good direct. I liked it. It wasn't exactly what we, in a dream world, would have gotten. Still don't know anything about 2020. But
we do. But it's just not the picture we were thinking it was going to paint as of yet.
We know more now than we did then. And yes. I'm holding out hope. That's what I'll say. Because maybe 2020 just doesn't have any big games. And besides...
Animal Crossing.
But we'll see.
Okay, well, we got a lot to talk about because of the Nintendo Direct. But we have to make an exception before getting to that because of a certain thing that came out. So let's get it off with, what have you been playing? We have to talk about this because Astral Chain came out last Friday after glowing reviews from various, respected industry people. And so me and Will got it. Tyler has yet to get it, but he will. He will. Right.
Yes, I will. I want the game. I plan to buy it launch day, but I've been traveling. I went to the beach in the Outer Banks in North Carolina. And as you may or may not know, a giant hurricane has swept through the area, so I had to drive away, and I just never been a chance to buy it.
Breaking kayfabe here for a second, there after the Nintendo Direct yesterday, there was a point of like 6 or 7 hours where we didn't hear a single thing from Tyler, not on Twitter, not on our Discord channel, nothing. And I'm like, did something happen? And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I've been driving away from the hurricane, so sorry about that.
Nice work on kayfabe, by the way.
Hey, I'm a wrestling guy.
Way to slide that in there. That was good.
Yeah. Anyway, so to change this up a little bit, Tyler is going to do a little bit of a Q&A with us for a few minutes about Astral Chain and our initial thoughts, because we've only been playing for a week. I haven't finished it. I'm pretty sure Will hasn't finished it, right?
I've been kind of caught in that platinum game trap of trying to perfect it, get as much things as possible while grinding. It's like, I got the first level on platinum standard of all S+ ranks, so I'm kind of like, grinding / like trying to be a perfectionist about it, but I am trying to like get through the story at least a little bit.
I can't believe that Will hasn't finished this game. I'm shocked. This is
I
a
can.
Shock. Will not finishing a game
shocked.
Is it's unheard of on any page.
I'm shocked. Shocked that there's gambling in this establishment. You're winning, sir. Oh, thank you.
That being said, let me direct my first question.
Direct
Will.
Your first question.
Shoot.
I guess, describe Astral Chain. What type of game is it?
Well, if there's anything to compare it with, is like, the one thing, I can see why people compare this thing to Wonderful 101, because the fact that you're controlling, like, making a line with your legions, like, controlling the second character with your primary character of Akira, and it's definitely a mix of Bayonetta / Wonderful 101. The action is definitely there, but at the same time, it's not as like high grade, intense like Bayonetta. It's like you still gotta have to like dodge perfectly, watch enemies, and all that yada yada. But it's not as like intense. It's definitely much more accessible to like newcomers, like who aren't like used to the Bayonetta formula or like Devil May Cry for that matter. So, and the fact that you control all these different legions, different abilities, it just feels it feels pretty good, especially like there's just so many callbacks to Platinum's library, like with the finishing touch with your Legion. Once you like weaken the enemy, you can basically go Zandatsu a la Metal Gear Rising, and just it's just so many callbacks. The use of the chain is like so simple but so effective. Is like again, it's like a basically any game you played in Platinum Games library, like gotta be from like crappy like the bad ones like with Korra or with Bayonetta or with the Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, like you see a lot of influence here in Astral Chain.
Okay. Todd, talk about the combat a little bit. What's the pace of it? Have you played Bayonetta?
Fast.
It's fast. Okay. Faster
Okay,
than
like
Bayonetta?
I'd say a little bit on par. I mean, maybe a little faster because of certain things that you have to do, because you are often fighting multiple enemies at once, and you have to pace yourself as well as, have full 360 awareness. As Will was describing, you use the Legions in combat, and you're kind of button mashing combos, which is fine, but you also have the ability to switch up your own weapons. You have a melee weapon, which can be a baton or gladius sword or a blaster, allowing you different ranges and attack abilities. And then via your legions, you have a sword, a bow and arrow, basically a fist fighter, a wolf, which is awesome, except when it's not, and basically a BA sword wielder, so like Cloud Strife. And all those techniques, you have to use them at the right time, at the right ways, in order to do maximum damage or cause certain things to happen so you can do more damage to your enemies. It's a lot to process, and I'm not gonna lie, I was scared to death that this is gonna be like Wonderful 101, which, if you recall in previous podcasts, I did not like because of how they handled the combat. But once you get into it, and there is a training room, which I really like, that you can practice your skills in, it does become easier. Easier to understand. Not easier difficulty-wise, it's still pretty hard.
You were
But,
on the same wavelength as me. That was going to be my next question to Will, and I was going to specifically ask him because we all know that, Todd's kind of trash at most games.
Oh,
So,
don't even. Don't even.
easy mode, easy mode on Fire Emblem,
I
lest we
beat
forget.
Edelgard on the harder
The
difficulty.
professor level, lest we forget.
I have an A plus professor level in my Golden Deer run, so shut the heck up.
I'm just teasing you. Will, though, what is the difficulty level? Would you say that, I know you can pick multiple difficulties. Which one did you pick, and is it what you expected?
Well, of course, once you begin the game, it starts you out at the basic casual mode. Like it doesn't give you a rank. That's one thing one news outlet got completely wrong. They said there was no ranking in the system. Come on, it's Platinum Games. Of course, there's gonna be a ranking system. And so in the beginning, you are like start at the casual mode. Basically, you just get a stamp of Lappy saying that you complete the level. But once you like finish the intro level, you can switch it up to the Platinum Standard or the Platinum Ultimate difficulty. And of course, I just basically go with the Platinum Standard because again, it's just normal mode. But Platinum Ultimate, I actually have gotten myself an S plus rank on the first intro level, and yeah, it does not kid around. It does like one hit really like takes off like a 0.25% of your health, even with your extra legions like that you earn back in the standard difficulty. But compare Platinum Standard wise, I mean, it's even with its basic difficulty, like normal Platinum Standard, it's still quite difficult actually. Like there are some bosses that will knock you around, it will hurt you. I mean, there'll be times where I'm almost in the red because of like I was kind of being reckless and careless. So even though Platinum Standard is like the basic level, it doesn't shy away from the difficulty. It doesn't shy away from the challenge and how it will punish you for it.
Okay, gotcha. Todd, which is your favorite Legion to use so far?
I know this may seem obvious, but I like the Sword Legion. It's simple, it's basic, it works for me. But then again, and this is a beneficial part of the game, it forces you at times to use the different legions in a meaningful way. So at times, I'll use the Arrow Legion because there are enemies I call the Harpies, and they fly, and so that makes it difficult for you and your sword user or your sword legion to hit them. So if you have, your bow and arrow legion, you can snipe them long range, and you have a special attack where you can actually basically pull a link and charge up your arrow before firing at them. It's deeply satisfying. but there's also the Arm Legion, where you actually get to wear it like a suit of armor and just wail away on your opponent, and also deeply satisfying. The one I hate the most, ironically enough, is the Wolf/Beast Legion, because while it's cool in combat, it has a special feature where you can ride it like a, you know, like a horse or something, but it's so hard to control that I fell off of platforms like so many times and like cost me a bunch of health. It is so annoying. In combat, it's fine, I don't care. But if I, when I have to ride, there's like a section when you get it and you have to ride the bloody thing, it's just like I almost died multiple times because it's like it wouldn't direct the way I want it to, and I kept falling off and losing like 200 health. I'm like, mother forker, stop it.
Right. I know what you mean. Like the Wolf Legion is definitely in regards to control to the Wolf Legion, it is a bit stiff. It is like corner turns and all that. Definitely, it's definitely not as refined. But like, include, I did also have the same trouble when regards to the jumping as well. Like jumping with the Wolf Legion while riding is like, yeah, it's definitely a bit of a learning curve to say the least. And as you said, the Arm Legion. I don't know, like, I know I've been kind of preaching the choir, but I just love how much it pretty much is a JoJo reference. I love it. It's just like the rapid punches. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Will, the story, one of the things that was interesting to me from the trailers was the fact that you're chaining up these Chimeras from other dimensions. How is the story? Is it seem like it's more focused on that kind of owner-slave mentality, or is it focused on something else entirely, without spoiling too many things, I guess, just your general impressions of the story?
Well, I mean, like, from what I played so far, and again, seeing reviews, I can see what they mean. Like, with Astral Chain's story, it definitely plays a lot in the gray area. Like, you see these things, that like, these chimeras, and then being chained up, like, that itself, like, chaining some beast or entity for your own personal convenience, like, are we the bad guy? Are we not? Is the director really meant for humanity, or just some big guy in the back satisfying his corporate shells? Is like, there's a lot of things that the story really does play around in the gray area. Is this right? Is it good? And of course, like with the support characters, kind of explains that as well. Especially when you read like the data entries in your computer. It explains a whole lot more, so that's one thing I gotta appreciate about Platinum Games, and especially with Astral Chain. Like, they know how to like really dance around with, like, the topic of like, is this right, is this wrong, the more gray area, especially when it comes to like legions, chaining, and like, is it right for us to do so such things. So yeah, overall, the story is pretty intriguing.
Oh, and that's literally only scratching the surface, because while that whole like master slave mentality is going on, you're still dealing with the end of the world that technically already happened before this ever happened, before the game even started. There is, you know, there's Neuron, there's a deep story there, there's the characters, there's the brother sister who have their own dynamic, which I find deeply intriguing. There's the world around you, which I honestly liken a lot to Fire Emblem Three Houses, and where you can just walk around and talk to people and get side quests, which is deeply satisfying. And there's
what I was going to ask you, Todd.
Yeah.
The side quests, have you enjoyed them? I've read mixed reviews on some of them, seem straightforward and bland, whereas others are more intriguing. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's how it is for most RPGs or action games. I mean, even Three Houses, I mean, one of the down points I had in my Blue Lions run, and even in the Edelgard run, was that in the back half, in part two of the story, the most frequent side quest is a supply run, where you just get more renown for getting items that, you know, you can grow or fish for. It was very annoying. And sure, there are going to be times where you have a side quest which falls flat for you. Like, I just did one where it's a puzzle, which I'm usually good at, and you have to rearrange the cars in a way so that it doesn't block traffic. And the first one was easy, I got it done. But then the second one, for whatever reason, it just wouldn't click with me. So I'm just like, oh, screw this, I'm out. And then other times there's collector missions, but they're quick. They're like on a timer, which is entertaining. There's, you get to go into the astral plane, which is where the chimeras come from, on your own, like not tied to the story, and do special battles there or try and collect things there. Those are fine. It's your typical stuff, but it allows you to expand your reach in the world, so you're not just going from point A to point B, like other games definitely have. Like I just did one where I was supposed to go search for a bad guy, but I noticed that there was some side quests, so I went to go look, and apparently, sure enough, there were a couple people trapped in the astral plane, and their friends or family members were worried about them. So I was like, okay, let's go find them. And sure enough, I did, and it was nice to see how happy they were and all that stuff. And as with all side quests, you're either gonna like them or you're not gonna like them. But I found them good because they help build up your character in a way, and they obviously they give you extra like points for experience and all that. And it just felt good that in this big of a world, there's a lot of things to do and look for. And at the end of every mission, they show you the cases you did and the cases you missed. And then I'm like, oh no, I missed a case. What did I miss? You feel that because it's like, oh man, I could have done even more in this game. So.
Right. Will, I guess one more question for you before I go, just give you ask you guys for general thoughts or bonus things you want to say. I think one of the best things about a lot of Platinum's games are how colorful and creative the world is, and Todd touched on it a little bit. How vibrant is Astral Chain? Is it kind of by the numbers, or is there a lot of creativity in the world and the lore and the characters?
Overall, like just the presentation, like one you always hear about these different games are kind of like in grayscale. Not the case for Astral Chain. This is a vibrant world, like the neon colors, like especially when you're in Harmony Square, which is like pretty much essentially New York's Times Square. It's like it's so vibrant, the neon colors, including like some like other parts of the other world, like in the Maison Forest, which is like basically giant condominiums, like basically the hood, basically in a sense. But yeah, it's just like how it pops out the especially the Arc Mall. There's just so much colors. Like it also emphasizes the more like how much life and story it has in this world, and like also gotta give props to the music. The music is just one of the most rock bangers of the game's recent history. I loved hearing the Arc Mall music, especially combat battles. Like that was one of my like been hearing this entire day. So like in regards to like just how they present the world is like, yeah, Platinum Games, they when given enough time and they have been working those things for 5 years plus, it shows. And yeah, NieR Automata has a grayscale, but Astral Chain here is like it's just very vibrant. It's very vibrant.
That sounds sweet. And I guess for both of you, I'll start with Todd. Any final thoughts that you want to add that I haven't asked you about?
I was very not concerned per se, but I know how Platinum acts at times with their games, and even though I love Bayonetta, again, I didn't like Wonderful 101, and I was very interested to see how this game would turn out. This game is very much a complete package. It deserves the ratings that it got. Like right now, I'm flirting between a 4 and a 4.5 on the review I will be writing in a few days for the site. And I highly recommend this game. It's very fun. It feels special, and it's definitely worth your time.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to go off the board here, and I got to ask Will a very specific question.
Oh no.
There are reports that you have been blocked by Hideki Kamiya on Twitter. Why is that? Do you think it's your lewd posts? Do you think it's
I'm
your
not sure you
overall
have.
demeanor, or what?
I'm not sure if you have followed Kamiya, but Kamiya loves his share of lewds, including like following up some certain pinups. I know we're keeping it PG, but and regards to yeah, I just realized that I have gotten blocked by Kamiya, which like I have no idea why that happened. I mean, again, Kamiya is known to block people, so just when I like discovered I was blocked, like what? When did
Yo,
this
he's the
happen?
director of Platinum Games, right?
One of the head honchos. I mean, again,
Okay.
he's famous for A Beautiful Joe, and was the supervisor for this game. So again, one of the main head honchos and founders, I believe. But yeah, Kamiya, I have no idea. But again, he is again, as we said in the prior podcast, like he is blunt to the point. He's a professional jerk. But I have no idea why I was blocked. Maybe it's like because again, I chatted to another person when he was tagged, because again, he has very strict policies about like interactions unless you're talking Japanese. So I have no idea. I have no idea why he blocked me. So Kamiya-san, onegai, please don't block me again. Please unblock me. Onegai
All right, sweet. Thanks for answering my hard-hitting questions. Yeah, I'll have to get Astral Train and give you guys my thoughts next week.
And next week we'll obviously be talking even more about it, and I'll have my review up by then, I promise, unlike some people.
It's about time Todd wrote a review.
Yeah.
This guy, he always says he's going to write them, and then he doesn't.
Oh, really? Do we want to check my profile of reviews? Shall I list all the games, all the Nintendo Switch games I have reviewed on this website? Shall I?
No, that's all right. You know, we can say it
and I did release my review like a few days ago, so yes, I did get it out. So
yeah, like 10 days after you told me you would.
Of what game, so the people at home can check it out? Check it out?
Oh, gladly. It is Mega Labyrinth Life for Nintendo Switch. So please, the review is on the site. Please do check it out if you love your dungeon crawlers.
Okay, stop. We need to move on. Alright, so as noted, there was a Nintendo Direct this week, which was amazing because we thought it was going to be coming next week, actually a week from when we were recording this on the 5th, and so we were all very surprised but all very happy, especially when they noted it was going to be 40 minutes long and it was going to show us both games for this year, games for next year, and so on and so forth. So obviously our minds got spinning and, you know, we got our reactions. What we're going to do is, like we've done recent Nintendo Directs, which the last one was in May, so we're going to do is start at the beginning and go to the end. So, obviously, starting it off with Overwatch. It's confirmed. Officially.
NEP first reported. Okay, not first reported, but we told you.
We told you. And so, so let's just briefly talk about this. After all of the potential hype, all the leaks, the rumors, the Amazon case, the officially licensed Nintendo Switch case on Amazon, and Blizzard saying, we're not going to do it, we might do it, it's not impossible, it's just hard. They're finally doing it. And we're getting Overwatch on Switch, and it's coming out October 15th.
Yeah, I mean, it's super soon. That was a good announcement. I mean, we knew it was coming, but a nice way to start the show, I thought. I was glad it wasn't, like, in the middle and they didn't talk about it for 3 minutes. It was very much everybody knows this already.
Yeah.
Hey, here it is.
I can't help but wonder, like, if this was a ploy from Activision, like, oh, the worst kept secret of a Nintendo Direct is like, okay, yeah, we get it, Overwatch is coming. And just for a little details as well, just got a review later on, is like, the game itself will be running, I believe it's 900p docked and 720p undocked, and it's going to be set at 30 frames per second, so it's not going to be the full-fledged 60 frames that we are used to in PS4 or PC or even more, but again, having obviously expected the port to have some compromises, and for 30
you'll
frames,
live.
Yeah, you'll live.
You'll live.
I mean, heck, Astral Chain is 30 frames per second, and that thing was amazing, so.
Yeah, and it looks great on handheld, let me tell you. Anyway. But for me, I'm almost tempted to get it, but after what we're going to talk about soon, October's kind of booked for me, just saying. And I mean, I wouldn't be big for this kind of scene, but I'm tempted because it's on Switch and I know it'll look good enough on Switch, and I am tempted after writing about this for years, not this story, but Overwatch in general for years. I would like to know how it plays. You know, I would like to know what character I would be a match for, giver, if you know what I mean. So, and again, this, much like our title, this is like, you know, the definitive edition. Every character is in there, you know, all the new levels, the modes, the queues, all of it, it's all in there. So this is full on Overwatch on Nintendo system, the second official Blizzard title on the Switch, so that's pretty cool. Any
agreed.
Thoughts from you, Tyler?
No, on Overwatch, no. I mean, agreed, it's cool, but
that's fine.
I'm gonna get it for sure.
Really?
Luigi's Mansion doesn't come out to the end of the month. My new roommate is super into it, or he at least previously was. So I might have some. There might be some bonding to be had through Overwatch.
Bonding.
And for me, like, I may be considering probably going double, because I am as well curious, like, how it will play and run, especially regarding to, like, online service and all that. So I am curious.
Now, I even though this has not been confirmed, this was confirmed for another game, but it's got me wondering, could it be that they might allow your previous save data from other platforms to cross over with the Switch?
Actually, I actually have some details because, like, right now, from what Blizzard has announced from their from one of their PRs, currently right now, there's only you only could play on Nintendo Switch systems. There's no like word on cross system play. In regards to like your accounts, like for example, connecting to a Blizzard account, surprisingly, there's no word about it. But I expect they would do so. I mean, they allowed it to do so on the PS4 version, so I wouldn't be surprised if they said the same thing. So
Fair
maybe.
enough. We'll see. All right, moving on to Luigi's Mansion. We've got some new looks at some of the new floors that we're going to be having fun in, including an Egyptian-themed level,
I
because, of
have some
course.
thoughts on this. I
Okay.
love it. It looks so cool.
It does.
This reminds me a lot more of the first game where the rooms, you had some really interesting theme room. You had the Eskimo room, the painting room. I was really excited with what we saw from the pyramid room.
Yeah, and then we have there was the disco room, which of course I loved for obvious reasons. There's gonna be a ship level called the Spectral Catch, which I want to note right now is a total ripoff of the sea liner idea we have for Luigi's Mansion 4. But we could still do that. I'm just saying, Nintendo, you haven't robbed me of the idea. You took a shark, I said a sea dragon slash serpent, so you're welcome. Also, we're gonna have a multiplayer mode called Scream Park, where you can team up with friends via local co-op and actually have battles in teams. Four people playing as Luigi and four people playing as Gooigi to see who can tackle the most ghosts. So that's pretty cool.
They are. I hope they're not putting too much effort into these modes. It's nice to have bonus stuff, but I don't think I'll ever play this.
No,
And
I
I
probably won't
don't think
either.
most people will, because there's just so many other better multiplayer party games to play on Switch, such as one we'll be getting into, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. But yeah,
We'll get the
it's
promos there.
nice to have more options always, but it just didn't seem crazy intriguing to me.
Well, it's like I think at present this is the only other multiplayer mode outside of co-op. So like have something for the multiplayer crowd to keep them interested, but also focus on single player, which they're clearly doing. So, moving on, we have a this was honestly a surprise for me. There is a new free to start Kirby game available right now. It's called Kirby, was it Kirby Clash? It's Super Kirby Clash. There you go. Basically, they're basically going Dungeons and Dragons on you. You pick a Kirby of a different color, obviously, and you pick a job that you have to play at, such as Blade Hero, Hammer Lord, Dr. Heelmore, of course it is, and Beam Mage, and you go and fight various bosses from the history of Kirby, which I find kind of cool. And you have to not just pick a character, but be smart about your character because certain enemies have certain weaknesses or resistances to the jobs that you pick. So, yeah.
I was about to say that it also kind of like while you say it, compared as Dungeon Dragons, it kind of got reminded in regard to like the Monster Hunter formula. Like you pick your like whatever class that you want and then tackle these basically souped up boss enemies with like four three other players. It's like very it remind definitely reminds me of like the Monster Hunter-esque formula. And like even though this is a free to play game, there's always the usual microtransactions. I haven't actually seen it in regards to if it's like as intrusive, but I like knowing Kirby games is not hopefully nothing too bad, at least what I've
Well,
checked about.
they say it's free to start, so I think that means that you play it for free, like the first few levels to get the bearings on it, and then you either buy the rest of the game or you buy it per level. I'm not really sure, but there's over like 100 different quests, which means I guess 100 different bosses. So there's a lot of content here, which again, Kirby, who knew?
Now they said free to start.
Yeah, I just said that.
No, yeah.
Literally.
No, I know you just said that, but the paid stuff. Is that like, did they outline that at all?
No, they didn't. That's why I was speculating. I'll look it up, see how it works. Let's see, Super Kirby Clash. But this is what is surprising me, and this honestly is what really took me aback by the presentation as a whole, just to slightly skip ahead, is that there were a lot of games released yesterday
There
or
really
today.
were. And awesome. The greatest gift ever bestowed upon humanity was released yesterday.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Just hold on. But yeah, they're saying that you pay to unlock more levels. That's all it's saying. I'm not seeing like a
Yeah,
system
I
scaling,
don't
but
love that. Like, I'd rather just get a new Kirby game and like
I
pay for
disagree
it, like twenty
because
bucks.
in this case, because you know, there's been a lot of Kirby spin-off games, like there was the Kirby fighting
There was
game.
a lot of stuff like this on 3DS.
Exactly. And so I think they're trying to say like, hey, you know, we know that every one of you is gonna love it, so try out a few levels, see what you think, you know, try out the online, and then if you want to keep playing, there's the option. So I can understand that actually, because they don't want to, you know, put everything into it and then nobody buys it, versus, you know, we put enough into it, which is basically what this is, and you know, some people will buy it and buy all of it, and you know, that'll be enough. So,
True. I guess
yeah.
the reason I feel negatively towards it is because it seems like it's just like that makes it feel like it's a cheap game to me.
No.
But it looked cool. I mean, Kirby mixed with RPG concepts, that's interesting.
Why not? All right, moving on to a game I'm actually curious to see what Will thinks about. We are going to get a full-on remake of Trials of Mana. That's the third game in the Mana series, and which has had a very long history with Nintendo over the years. And we're going to get, you know, full 3D models. They're actually changing certain elements, including the battle system, to go from turn-based to free-flow combat, but with RPG elements, obviously. There will still be the branching storyline of you picking the characters and then the story interweaving and all that, and it will be coming out April 24th, 2020.
And
And they didn't
yeah,
say
because
exclusive, but I'm inferring that it's
I
exclusive
don't
based
think it's
on,
exclusive.
yeah, maybe a timed exclusive, because they didn't say exclusive.
They
That
didn't. I'm
well, I
pretty
mean,
sure
if
that the other
known,
ones came out for other platforms.
yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
Secret of Mana came out for everything.
if knowing Square Enix, like they probably are gonna like just made a deal with Nintendo to make this time exclusive. That's how Square Enix has been generally been acting recently.
Yeah.
And yeah, like even like just to clarify, the combat systems has always been free flowing. It's never been a turn based ever since back during the like SNES days.
Oh,
So like
really?
it's always has been free flowing. It's never and it was never turn based. That's the one thing that was like stood out from like the from the Final Fantasies or like Dragon Quest. It was free flowing. It's like very like think Chrono Trigger, but you can actually move wherever you want. So yeah, think of
Interesting.
that. And regarding to like yeah, seeing this game, I know my cousin really likes this game. Like he really wants to get it. And like just seeing how it is, like this is kind of like a lot of people have been saying this was what we wanted back for the original Swords of Mana remake, but instead we're like we got this like really kind of like a watered down version of it. So this is the one that everybody was really looking forward to, and from what I mean, what we've seen so far, and again, it looks good. It looks good. I mean, in both sense of the eyes, like aesthetic wise, female models, yes, I'm gonna find that out, and horror is just like yeah, the combat system as well is just really good. Plus, even got the voice acting, which is pretty sounds pretty top notch.
I
So.
disagree entirely. Did you see that one line from the evil lady?
Yeah.
You know what will happen to Rebecca if I fall. I'm like,
Yeah,
I
that
think they were doing
was
it
so
purposefully
bad.
hammy. I think they were doing it purposefully
Yeah, I
hammy.
agree with Todd on that one. I do agree
Thank
with
you.
you that it visually looked really good.
Oh yeah.
And so I mean it's that's there's this is Square and as is Dragon Quest. It has the same style as Dragon Quest XI to me. It just looked extremely similar. Yeah, I was impressed by that, and I was interested in this game. I thought it looked good. I was surprised it was that far off because they talked about this before. I think at E3 they may have mentioned it.
That they have, yes. It was only like briefly mentioned in the E3 Direct, and like it only showed off like the Japanese gameplay and audio last we remembered, yes.
All right, moving on. We have one I'm actually excited about, even though I probably won't get it myself. It's the Return of the Obra Dinn. All right, this was an indie game darling from Steam. If you know a Zero Punctuation with Yahtzee, he did a video on this and he loved this game. It's very story driven, it's very simple, the visuals are very intriguing, and it's a game that if you like a visual novel kind of thing and mystery games, this is the game for you. I'll leave it at that, but because I want to move on, but if you've There's a lot of people who love Return of the Obra Dinn. Like it was nominated for awards and everything because of just how well made it was, despite being an indie game. So definitely check that out. And it's coming, I think they said later this year. So yeah. And then, ironically, last week, me and Tyler were wondering about a certain game from Game Freak and where the heck that was. Well, now we know. Their game Town has officially been rebranded as Little Town Hero. where there is one simple rule: you never leave town, which sounds like a Stephen King story, but I'll let that go. And no, nothing. Fine. And
I was going to give you something. I thought that was good.
Thank you.
I was, but you were talking so fast, I never felt like there was a chance.
Okay. Okay. When we do it again, I can do it again. So
no,
you,
no, no, just know that it was good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we got some, finally got some details on this game. Basically, it will be an RPG, but it won't play like Pokemon because you're fighting with the power of thought and not like telekinesis thought or telepathy or anything like that, but you're choosing moves to go against your opponent who has their own different cycle of moves, and much like rock, paper, scissors in a way, you have to pair up perfectly to do better damage or face the consequences. But also, in a nice twist, you can actually move around the battlefield in such a way that you can team up with your fellow villagers to fight off the monsters that are haunting your town. So very, very different from Pokemon, which honestly, you know, they needed to do, because the last thing we need is, oh, it's just a Pokemon game. Yeah, this ain't Pokemon.
Right. Well, I do want to say I was kind of bummed by this, because the last time we saw this game was last September, if memory serves.
It's been a year.
And it looked really, really intriguing then. I thought this was a really cool concept. And the gameplay that we saw, I was underwhelmed by, as you said, like the power of maybe it's better in practice. It just seemed like it seemed like a smaller scale project than I hoped it would be. And I didn't expect it to be a large thing. They're working on Pokemon right now, obviously. But I was hoping for more from this, and I'm not quite sure I'm going to get it now.
I think it comes out
so soon. Like that.
Yeah,
was,
it's coming out October 16th, two weeks before Luigi's Mansion.
That's another sign to me that it's not the title that I was hoping it would be.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, man. I mean, hey, I was worried to death about Astral Chain, and all of a sudden everyone's saying, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And now so I took a chance, and I truly love it. Maybe that's the same thing here. Remember, they squeezed this in a 40-minute direct, so.
But Astral Chain had some marketing behind it. Like, they
not
were
really
pushing Astral Chain. Yeah, yeah, that was all over Nintendo's Twitter at the very least. It was
okay,
everywhere
yeah.
there.
But yeah, but we still got a month, and they're going to be promoting this. And anyway, but I'd still say give it a chance. And we're obviously going to get more trailers and insight into this. This was honestly the first gameplay trailer we got.
It was.
So there's still more to learn.
Yeah, yeah. It just didn't. The concept is great. Like you said, it does seem like a Stephen King concept. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to be explored in depth. Based on, that's the vibes that I got. And hopefully I'm wrong, but I wasn't pleased with it.
What about you, Will?
Honestly, it really is like a very unique take. I'm kind of like reminded in regards to like other Rising Star games, like with Little King's Story back on the Wii. It's definitely a very interesting thing, like a la like very Ni No Kuni, very Studio Ghibli, using your thoughts as attacks to defend your town, plus using your fellow townspeople to like defend said town. It's definitely has that, like, interesting macabre slash innocent look. Is like that blend of like mature and kiddish. So it's kind of an interesting take on the format. So I'm surprised what Game Freak is making with this game. So I'm curious to see what it becomes.
Okay. All right, Tyler. You've waited long enough.
Yes.
Tell them about your favorite part of the Direct.
Banjo released in Smash right away yesterday. So as I mentioned, I was running away from Hurricane Dorian, and I didn't get to watch the Direct live. When I got home, the first thing I did was pull up the Direct. And when they got to this part, I stopped the Direct and went and played Smash with my brother for like 30 minutes. I never pause a Nintendo Direct, ever.
Nope.
I was too excited. This was all I wanted. They released him. I guess this is the time to talk about him, too. I've played as Banjo for about an hour, I would say, and he is everything that I hoped he would be. his moves are phenomenal. They're all very true to the original games. If you watch, first of all, I would direct you all to Sakurai's 25-minute YouTube video showing Banjo. It was really funny. This was Sakurai in his natural element, and he was just throwing one-liners out there. Very funny, and he had good insight on the moves and the stage and all that good stuff. So check that out for sure if you want to learn all of the history. But the character is surprisingly fast. I mean, he's a heavyweight character with a lot of speed, which is really rare. He has a really good projectile with his eggs. His grenade Egg is a phenomenal snake-like move that can be used for ledge trapping. It can be used for, you can unleash it, you can grab it after you throw it, and then like drop it on somebody, and it combos into his side B, which is a sweet move where he uses his invincibility feathers. He's a really cool character. And, you know, I saw somebody on Twitter say this, and I think it's the most true. He feels like a regular roster character. And I don't mean that in that he doesn't feel broken or anything. He doesn't feel broken. He feels pretty, just reasonably good. He's probably a mid-tier, maybe a little bit better. Regardless of that, he feels like he belongs, is what I'm trying to say. He fits right in to Smash Bros. And it's just so exciting to have Banjo-Home on a Nintendo console. Having him play against Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, and King K. Rool on Spiral Mountain with Gruntilda and Bottles and Mumbo and Tootie and the beetle that flies around in the sky in the beginning of the game in the background. It is beautiful. And Grant Kirkhope's arrangements, they are awesome.
I don't know if you can tell, Will, but Tyler's smiling.
I am. It's smiling. It's great. It's everything that I wanted it to be. And more. It's phenomenal. So that was Banjo. Also, they announced the fourth character.
Hold on. I want to do that one, but I want to talk about this Banjo a little bit more.
I was
super surprised. I was super surprised that they did the same day release. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be because Nintendo pulled a lot of, hey, it's out now, releases today, and yeah, we aren't even close to being done with those. And all of a sudden, because we were hearing rumors like, you know, late September. And we're like, okay, that's fine, because, you know, Dragon Quest Hero came out at the end of July, so, you know, give us 2 weeks, or like, you know, 2 months to continue to ingratiate him. Oh, no, we're giving you, like, 6 weeks max, or was it 5 weeks, I don't remember. And I was like, okay, it's out now, all right, then, let's do that. Unfortunately, for a reason I'll be explaining just a little bit later, I couldn't get Banjo, but I can get him now, and I will eventually play him. My last 2 days have been absolutely hectic, but I do look forward to playing Banjo and seeing all the comments about all the love that Banjo is getting. Even freaking Xbox, the official Xbox Twitter, Banjo-Kazooie is in Smash Bros. Right now, we call dibs. And it's just like, that's the cooperation that I love. And even Sakurai, I got to see like the first minute of the Sakurai presentation. He was like, you know, Microsoft is a rival company, technically, but they were more than happy to let Banjo-Kazooie come to Smash Brothers. That's what I like to hear, right?
Yeah, the fact that to hear Sakurai say, yeah, definitely, if you haven't had a chance to, please play Banjo-Kazooie on Xbox. I know this is a Nintendo presentation, but yes, please do play Xbox. And his coworkers were laughing in the background, which I never would have thought to hear the word Xbox coming from Sakurai, a Nintendo and until the direct of all things to hear the word Xbox from a different company, which is it like, just, the console wasn't over. Shut it off. The console wasn't over. Now we just need to have Sony to comply.
Yeah. Well, it's just that. It reminds me of the Game Awards last year where we had Phil Spencer, Reggie, and
That guy from Sony.
I know his name. I just can't think of it right now. And, you know, they all came out together to show, hey, yeah, we get it. We're competing against each other, but we're all about the games. And that shows the appreciation that Microsoft has for Nintendo, which is the elder of the video game world, basically.
You know, and what, though? If Microsoft Xbox is going to call dibs on playing Banjo and Smash, how about they make a new Banjo game, huh? They stop acting excited about Banjo being Smash.
Or even better, just let Nintendo work with Rare to make another Banjo-Kazooie game and release it on both systems. Everybody wins.
Get the people from Rare together and then have like Sakurai oversee it, you know? Yeah. Miyamoto oversee it is probably a better fit.
I don't know about that, but we'll let it go. Yeah. Anyway, but we look forward to hearing all your thoughts on Banjo-Kazooie and Smash Brothers, and I'm sure by next week I'll have had a chance to play him, as will have Will hopefully, and we'll talk about that. But as we all correctly predicted, the fourth DLC character has been revealed, and shock, the leak was correct. It was an SNK character, and yet, quite ironically, it was the character that everyone should have thought was going to be in the game, but no one said. Because I kept hearing, you know, Samurai Showdown, you know, they were going to do one of the SNK heroines, and in my mind, even though I will admit I did not say this on the podcast, my only thought was, what if it's Terry Bogard? Because he's SNK, and he's Fatal Fury, who became King of Fighters. And I'm like, what if it's him? And then sure enough, here he is on the Neo Geo, which I loved. I loved that fake out of all the systems. It's like, okay, which console is the character coming from? Oh, it's not from a Nintendo console. It's Neo Geo. So, and I can't deny, this trailer was fun to watch, even though I don't know Fatal Fury, just because having the 16-bit card, invitation card, go through all the characters and basically splicing in the legendary scenes from Fatal Fury, including like the death of Geese Howard and all of that, was hilarious. And then seeing Terry in all his glory, you know, say, "Kow!" It was awesome.
Yeah, the trailer was really good for Terry. I saw a lot of people in my circle tweeting that it was Terry, like confirmed Terry, the day before. And listen, I'm not excited about Terry being in the game. I'm just gonna come out and say I've never played that game. I don't know who Terry Bogard is. I know that makes me ignorant, but I feel like a lot of people don't know who Terry Bogard is. And it's just, he's not an exciting character to me. I'd rather, if you're gonna do a fighting game, I'd rather see Heihachi or Yoshimitsu. But listen, Sakurai has given us so much at this point that personally I am fine with it. Like, I'm sure he's going to be really cool. They showed only two moves of him in the demo, in the banjo review, or the banjo video that Sakurai did, the 25-minute video, and he has a cool character model. I wonder if for Will they'll throw in the girl version that was put in, because we have four guys in this game and Kazooie so far as our DLC, I believe. Piranha
That's Plant true.
Obviously is
true.
I guess non-gendered, but regardless, so I would think the fifth character might be female,
if you recall though, a lot of people were saying that, like, the quote unquote rumors about the character was that it was an unwanted, unasked for female character, which is why everyone thought it was Tracer or D.Va.
Right.
Because it was like, oh, we didn't ask for them, but they made the deal with Blizzard, and so that's what we're getting. And then we get Terry, who technically, yes, was a girl in the SNK heroines. That's not canon, so shut up.
I'm excited to play him. I guess what I'm trying to say is
you don't have a connection with him.
I don't have a connection with him, but Sakurai chose him for a reason.
Yes.
He's done everything great, so I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
Like, my thoughts is regarding to, again, like, there was a while back ago, but Sakurai was back in the day, he was a legit fighting game player on the scene. So, like, of course, he grew up with, like, fighting games like Street Fighter, SNK, and all that. And for me, I grew up with SNK. Like, my brother introduced me to it. And to see pretty much the poster boy of SNK, Terry Bogard, in this game is like, it basically didn't make sense. I mean, you have Ryu, you have Cloud Strife, pretty much the icons of their companies at their time. And when you think of SNK, who do you think of?
Terry.
Of course, you think Terry Bogard, because again, he is Mr. SNK. I mean, as much as I would love to have my Shiranui, because she's pretty much is like the poster girl for SNK. But yeah, Terry Bogard is pretty much the shoe-in for like SNK representation. Yeah. I'm sure I mean, people argue for.
Not to toot your own horn, Will, but I do like your picking of Mai Shiranui. I know you have a big reason. Oh, wait, two reasons to like Mai Shiranui.
Actually, there's four reasons. There's four reasons.
Yeah, sure.
But I digress. But overall, like, yeah, like, have see Terry Bogard in action like this. Like, obviously, it pays a lot of tribute to, like, the fighting game scene out there. I mean, of course, that old rivalry in Capcom versus SNK, like with Ken and Terry. Like, if you play that game, you know they have a bit of a rival scene between the two. Like, when Ken throws his hat towards Terry, which is pretty amazing.
Speaking of which, Tyler, for you, I would recommend looking up the Death Battle episode of Terry Bogard versus Ken Masters. They give a very detailed no, I'm serious. They give a very detailed look on Terry. And that's honestly how I know him. I've written about King of Fighters and obviously by extension Terry, but I never knew him until I saw the death battle between him and Ken. And they give a very detailed history of Terry Bogard, and I think you'll appreciate him just a little bit afterwards. So.
Yeah, no, and I do respect the history of the fighting games. I thought the reveal trailer was cool when they went back to 1991. It's just, I if you've got Banjo, we said how are you gonna follow up Banjo
Yeah, we did say that.
You didn't expect it to be Terry Bogard. You know, you're expecting it to be something unbelievable. You're expecting Goku, and you get Terry Bogard.
Or Tracer. I mean, Tracer, honestly, would have rivaled it in a certain way.
It would have, in a certain way, yeah.
But, all right, let's move on, because we got to
Well, he comes out in November, too.
Yes, he gets out in November, which means I might be able to play him for my birthday, which is awesome. But it's coming out in November, and we got another special announcement. There are more DLC characters on the way outside of the last final character we do not know yet.
Yes.
But we are getting more. It is not said how many more, but it could be another fighter pack. It could be just a couple that arose via the fan outcry after we got a couple of certain characters. Who knows? But this just shows that they're going to make sure Smash Brothers players are playing this game for as long as freaking possible.
I'm so excited about that. Hey, before we move on to the next thing in the Direct, we have to mention that Sans is also in Smash now as a Mii costume. But this is literally Sans. It just looks like Sans. And he came with his own track. Toby Fox recorded a Megalovania remix for Smash. And it's awesome. It's so good. So Sans people got what they wanted. Sans is in Smash.
Yeah, which is also ironic because there was a rumor about Sans being the next playable character. And technically they were right, kind of.
Right.
So I saw that tweet you RT'd on Twitter, Tyler. It was like, we have Cloud Strife, Joker, and Sans fighting Banjo-Kazooie, and like all these other characters, and then you're like, oh yeah, and they're all on the Nintendo platform. So as I said about the Wii U 3DS version, I extend that to here. Smash Brothers isn't just a fighting game; it's a celebration of gaming generations, and especially now with Terry and Banjo, and even Sans with Undertale, we're still getting that. You know, this is a celebration about what gaming is, with all these characters from all these different franchises coming together to let us just beat the crap out of them. I mean, what is better, my friends? I do not know. And we still got more characters to go. So, moving on. We got to keep going. So, next up, we had more looks at Link's Awakening, which is good. Again, coming out on September 20th. We had a look at Dragon Quest 11, Echoes of the Elusive Age Definitive Edition. There it is again. September 27th. That's all well and good. Next up, Will's other favorite game. We are getting an encore of sorts, if you will, because we are getting the... I can't even remember the title. It's so...
Tokyo Mirage Session Sharp FE.
Encore. So, yes, we are getting that. And it is going to be available on January 17th, 2020. So it will be our Mario U Deluxe of 2020. There will be new content, a new song, more FE characters in the game. Tiki is already confirmed. Obviously, they'll have a small visual update. So if for some reason, I can think of a lot of reasons, you did not get this game on the Wii U, now is your chance to get it on the Switch. So
I'm going to buy it again. I played it on Wii U and I actually liked it. I didn't get far, though. Yeah, it was good. Oh, wow. I really like both series. And this is absolutely a Shin Megami Tensei Persona game. 100%. Yeah. Do not go into it. If you've liked Three Houses, don't go into it and say, oh man, I can't wait to experience the Fire Emblem, because it's not. But they did add a Three Houses Officer's Academy costume for one of the characters.
Yes.
Really? Interesting.
But they added in Tiki as well, which is really cool. You did say that, but I want to emphasize how cool it is.
Yeah. I also want to note that I was like, when they were playing the trailer, I'm like, wait a minute, is that Tiki? And then like 30 seconds later, the announcer goes, wait a minute, is that Tiki? Like,
yeah, I did the same thing.
Like, it just said that. All right. But yeah, again, that's going to be one of the first exclusive Switch title for 2020. So that's something to look forward to if you haven't gotten it yet. Moving on, we have Deadly Premonition 2. If you did not play the first one, which we'll be getting to in the second, this was a very popular game when it released, and now we're getting a sequel, which no one saw coming, and it's called A Blessing in Disguise, and it'll tie into the first game while also having a new story. All I've got to say is, what's with the lips on the dude? Like, it almost looked like he had an infection. I don't know.
It did.
And then...
I mean...
Go on. Make it quick, though.
And... if you don't know Deadly Premonitions, everyone pretty much could describe it as, this is the perfect bad game. Like, it is, like, really bad in a sense, but it's to the point, it's, like, this, it's so bad it's good. The Citizen Kane of video games. Like, there are so many
Wait.
things you could go wrong with it, but it works so well. Like, a lot of people just, like, praise it's just how cult classic it is.
Did you just say the Citizen Kane of video games?
I mean, yes, that's pretty much is it. I
Citizen
don't love it,
Kane
I hate it.
is the most important movie in the history of ever, and that was
But
not
it's
bad in any level.
but it is in the interpretation. Again, you either love it or hate it. That's what I'm trying to get at.
No one hated Citizen Kane except the people who screwed it out of the awards. Moving on. But for those of you who didn't get to play the original, it's actually out, wait for it, right now as Deadly Premonition Origins. So you can get that on the eShop right now. Moving on to another just released game on the Switch, Divinity Original Sin 2, pause, Definitive Edition. Love that title. Yes, the acclaimed RPG, which I have also written a lot about for various websites, has come to the Switch, featuring all its content, the ability to have all the options you had in the original games, and cross saves. You can actually bring your save game from Steam onto the Switch, which is why I brought up the whole Overwatch thing earlier. And again, if you have not played this game, this is literally a legendary RPG. It was a Kickstarter game that became a phenomenon. All right, that's how good it was, and it's available right now. So definitely go get that. Bethesda popped in for a little bit of fun and announced that Doom 64 is getting a port, not a remake, a port to the Switch, and you'll be able to experience what made Doom so great on the N64 era. And it said it was coming out on the 27th, I believe. So,
Yeah, I forget the exact date.
yeah, I'm
This was
looking
just
at
such a bland, like, Bethesda comes on, they're like, now a message from Bethesda. I was like,
it.
question mark, this is gonna be cool.
Yeah.
And then, no, it's literally a re-release of an N64 game. I'm like,
But
all
hold
right,
on,
thanks,
they as
Bethesda.
they admitted, this was the first re-release of this game on Nintendo platform since the N64
I
era.
mean, yeah, were you excited for it?
I don't play Doom, so what do I
Yeah.
care? But I'm just saying there are Doom fanatics who remember, and as Bethesda noted, Doom 64 was what helped cement Doom as the preeminent first party franchise, even before Call of Duty. So this is a historical game. Now, if it was a remake, that probably would have gone all a little better, but it is what it is. And it's also November 22nd. My apologies. Next up, we had okay, this one's a little bit weird. It's a new IP. It's called Rogue Company. There we go. And it's basically a multiplayer mercenaries kind of game online, basically Overwatch but more serious, I suppose.
Pretty much,
Yeah,
yeah.
pretty much. And so, you'll watch the trailer, you'll see what you're getting. It's coming in 2020, and based on what they said, it's not exclusive, but it is a new IP, so that's good that it's, coming to the Switch at all. Okay, moving on to Pokemon, and I'm very curious about this, Tyler, because of what you said to me earlier. Pokemon Sword and Shield got brand new details about it, including new Pokemon, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So we have four new features. Number one, you'll be able to customize your look more than ever before. There's been some good customization in the past, but this time around, you're going to be able to actually cut your hair to stylize it like you want, be able to dress your character in a variety of ways, including even getting your gloves to look different. And so you will have your very own truly unique Pokemon trainer look, which, if you think about it, that's very important. So, apparently not to you two. Okay.
Well, I listen, you said so, and then I was waiting for something. I was thinking about one of my friends who loves customizing her characters, and she would definitely be hyped for this. And I was kind of hyped for this. I thought it looked really cool. The level of detail you could go into on your trainer was unprecedented. And yeah, I don't know, this trailer really did it for me, and that was part of it. I really liked what we saw from the rest of it. Here, you want to keep going? I'll chime in then.
And I will. The next one we got is Pokemon Camp,
Ah,
which honestly I think I'm actually surprised they never thought of this as a spin-off game, but that's just me.
here's where I was impressed with the animations. I was fine, like, this made some of them their complaints about animations made a lot more sense to me after seeing this. Like, they looked lively, they looked animated, and I liked what we saw there. I thought that the visuals looked good. And I could see how they didn't want to take the time to animate the walking animations in such high detail for all of the Pokemon.
But you'll be able to play with your Pokemon. You'll actually be able to go into other people's camps in a non-creepy way and interact with their Pokemon, which could set up really fun scenarios for you. And it's just another way to enhance the experience of being with your Pokemon, which has been honestly a more subtle goal that they've had in the recent games, like with Pokemon and Me and Pokemon Let's Go, where you could pet your Pokemon a lot more and feed them and everything. So that was pretty cool. And if you are a Cooking Mama fan, there is a new mini game basically where you get to make your own curry on rice. Because reasons. Why not? I mean, I guess we all want to be Brock, so.
I mean, I just kind of find it funny that, okay, like, out of all the shit, I mean, granted, curry is kind of like the quintessential anime dish in many cartoon shows, but
this is true.
Like, I don't know, get, I don't know, a hot dog or even a jelly-filled donut or some sorts, I don't know, like, something to, like, really change it, but instead they had to focus on curry, which is, I don't mind, but I wish they had a bit more variety to it.
And then there's actually like 100 different recipes of curry. So for you who must cook them all, you have those options. And then finally, there is a couple of new Pokemon that got revealed, including Poltegeist. Get it? Like Poltergeist, but with an A, Poltegeist. Oh, that's so clever. Yeah, this actually was what set me off in regards to Tyler saying he liked this trailer, because I'm like, I thought for sure you would have hated Poltegeist.
No, I really like Poltegeist.
Oh, gosh.
I thought he was super cool. Yeah, wow. I did. I really did. I know that's surprising.
It is.
But I thought it looked super cool.
Yeah.
The design of, like, the ghost coming out almost being like a drop of tea was creative. I liked the design on the pot. I thought Poltegeist was really, really neat. And so was the other Pokemon.
Cramorant. Yeah, I love this one for one reason and one reason only. And
it looks dopey.
It's not because it's blue. It's because of Gulp Missile.
Gulp Missile is awesome.
Okay, for those of you who didn't see the direct, Cramorant is a water and flying type bird who loves to eat and will try and eat just about anything it can. And when you use a move like Surf or Dive, it will actually catch a fish in its mouth while doing the attack, which shows epic multitasking. But it won't swallow the fish just yet. And so if it's attacked while the fish is in its mouth, it'll have its exclusive ability activate called Gulp Missile, where it'll launch that fish at the opponent in anger and damage it. That's hilarious.
Yeah, Gulp Missile was really cool. The creativity in that ability, I respect it.
Yeah. So, and the team noted that there is still 2 months to go before the game releases. Again, it's on November 15th. So they're going to be having more trailers, which I think is honestly their marketing strategy is just like 2-3 minute trailers, give you teases of new things. Because we've only had like, 20 Pokemon revealed? Maybe? So, like, they're still going, and that's pretty cool.
Well, let me point out one more thing. Now, I could be crazy here.
Wow.
I thought, graphically, it looked a lot better than what we've seen previously. Now, maybe that was just the resolution on the screen, that maybe I had better internet connection. I don't know. I thought it looked a lot more vibrant, and maybe I'm making things up, but I'm pretty sure that they've touched up the visuals since
possible
we last saw it, because I thought the game looked really good.
I think part of it was that we got to see like the customization of the characters, so we weren't seeing them from afar.
Yeah.
And then obviously Pokemon Camp let us see like the more of the animations of the Pokemon themselves. So I think it's possible, but we'll see. Moving on to Nintendo Online, Tyler's favorite subject. We got the confirmation of the Super Nintendo Entertainment System games on the system available today. It came out a little late, but it came out. And on the first batch, all of which are available now, we have, I'm going to rapid fire this, Brawl Brothers, Demon's Quest, Joan Mac 2, Lost in Tropics, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Star Fox, Super EDF Earth Defense 4, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Super Puyo Puyo 2, Super Tennis, Breath of Fire, F-Zero, Kirby's Dream Course, Pilot Wings, Stunt Race FX, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Soccer, what's with all the supers? And Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Listen, we've talked about this. Super makes games good automatically.
This is true. This is true. But they are all available now, and they're going to be bringing in more just like they did with the NES games. And if you feel so inclined, and you are a Nintendo Online member, you will be able to buy a special Super Nintendo Entertainment System controller that you can use like a pro controller, but for your SNES games. Now, I know this probably doesn't change your feelings on Nintendo Online, Tyler, but at least it's something.
They picked good games. They didn't put Earthbound in yet, but they will.
Yeah, they will.
They picked some good games.
All right, moving on to one of Will's favorite games, Tetris 99. No, I'm serious. Version 2 has released, and with it comes new content, including Tetris 99 Invictus, where it's basically Elite Mode from Smash Brothers, and you have to have max level to even play it. So there's that. There's also new daily missions. There's two-player shared mode. You can now do local play. And with DLC Wave 2, which is where some of these features come in, you'll have new themes that you can do, have new music you can play, and more. So I honestly haven't played Tetris in a while because of all the new games that have been coming out, and that probably won't change for a while. But I am glad to know that when it happens, I'll have a lot to look forward to. Moving on to Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. They basically just showed off a lot of what we expected, but there is also a story mode, apparently, of, wait for it, the teams of Mario and Sonic being pulled into a video game about the Olympics from 1986, or 4, one of those two. So that's unique. They're desperate to put story modes in everything now. You know, we had that with Mario Tennis and everything.
Yeah.
So, but hey, it worked out for tennis, I suppose, but we'll see. All right,
Andros called it. I have to shout out Andros Alex again, because this looks to be the best Mario and Sonic at the Olympics since the original. The games look really crisp and sharp and intriguing, and the retro idea is really creative.
All right, moving on to Deus Ex Machina.
You really wanted to move on there.
No, not really. I was just I'm trying to behold into a wish of a certain co-host. So,
oh, yes, true, it, true. Yeah.
Anyway, but Deus Ex Machina is coming out very, very soon, next week, actually, and a new demo has released for the game, and it will let you play the opening missions of the title in full, and if you get the full game afterwards, you will be able to continue your save from the demo, kind of like what they did with Octopath Traveler. What's more, online is also included in the demo. So if you're worried about the online mode, get with some of your friends and try it out for yourself. I'm still on the fence about this game, kind of like I was with Astral Chain in a little bit, because it looks good, but I've never been a mech fan. And even though I liked the demo, I did have some faults with it, but we'll just have to see. All right, moving on. Okay, this was one of the oddest things in the entire thing. We're getting Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast.
And this was just like the biggest head scratcher to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why they included this in the direct.
Me neither. And it's not a remake. It's just a port. It's literally just a port. I know it is. It is. They weren't lying when they said it's one of the most famous Star Wars games ever. It is held to the esteem of KOTOR and certain other Star Wars titles. But I don't know why they're bringing it to Switch. So, I mean, okay, sure. Why not? Fine. But yeah. So after that was a montage of games. They showed off The Witcher 3. They showed off we're getting a collection of Assassin's Creed titles with Black Flag and Rebel. We're getting Dauntless, which is kind of cool. Let's see. Scrolling. We're getting Vampire. I mean, sure.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
I mean, again, it's just one of those things. We're getting a Grid Auto Sport. We're getting, of course, NBA 2K. We're getting, wait for it. Oh, The Outer Worlds. That's a good one. A lot of people are still surprised by that. We're getting Devil May Cry 2. They're bringing all the Devil May Cry games over. I mean, sure. And that one's coming out on September 19th. So, yeah. Farming Simulator, of course. Who doesn't love a farming simulator? Do you know how I'm talking about this? Because it's about farming! All right. And then moving on to one of the longer presentations, Animal Crossing New Horizons, which, of course, was welcomed by the one and only Tom Nook, one of the most evil yet genuine characters in all of gaming. And, you know, basically, you know what they showed. They showed, you know, how the game works. They showed how it plays. I actually was okay. This is where this was a twist I was teasing earlier. So I'm at this point in the direct, right? And all of a sudden, the scrolling bar comes up on my computer screen. I'm like, oh no, something happened to the stream. And so I hit refresh, and nothing's happening. And I go to try and open a new tab, and it said my internet has died. And I'm like,
Oof.
oh yeah. And I go, oh crap. So thankfully I have my phone, which has its own internet. And so I watched the rest of the Nintendo Direct in the first like minute of the Sakurai presentation for Banjo on my phone, and my internet was down for the next 7 hours. And I felt horrible because, of course, after Nintendo Direct, I'm usually one of the people writing up all the articles about what happened in the Direct. And so I actually contacted Keith during our dear friend Koopa Keith during on Twitter to tell him I'm not ditching you, I literally have no internet. And it sucked because I'm like, the only thing I'm thankful for is I didn't have to watch the whole direct from my phone. All right, but it was just like, I don't know why it died then and it was gone for 7 hours. I was so frustrated.
You couldn't download Banjo.
Well, not just that, but I know I have what's it called? Oh yeah, responsibilities to the
Couldn't
site.
download, n
Yeah.
namely, you couldn't download Banjo.
No, I probably wouldn't have played him yesterday either way because I was still playing Astral Chain. I was just having a horrible day, so what are you gonna do? Anyway, but I know a lot of people were excited about all the things that Animal Crossing is, and it's gonna be again one of the highlights of 2020 when it comes out on March 20th. So yeah.
I find it kind of odd that release date, March 2020. Yeah.
Isn't that the same day that Final Fantasy comes out? Or is that the seventh?
It is in the same month. I don't
Yeah.
recall. Yeah, it is
Okay.
the same month. Yes.
The
So.
visual upgrade Animal Crossing, or not, just from the 3DS to the Switch, it's incredible how beautiful the game looks. It looks pristine
Yeah.
and serene and all the positive eens you could think of.
Yeah, it's like that. That's the thing that
I agree
people
with
that
you.
people forget about the Switch. It has HD capabilities, and especially with games like, you know, Animal Crossing and Astral Chain, when you t
Stylized games.
yeah, when you do like the stylized games, especially the Switch can pull it off just beautifully. So, you know, give us some slack. And then finally, wrapping up, we have the game which none of us saw coming, but we were talking about earlier. We are getting Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. In 2020, a full-on remaster of the cult classic Wii game, which of course brought Shulk into Smash Bros. And made Xenoblade Chronicles a franchise worth making, including the great Xenoblade Chronicles X and the legendarily awesome 4.5 out of 5 reviewed here on the Outer Haven, Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
One of the worst games ever
Oh,
made.
shut the heck
The
up.
reviewer did not know what he was talking about.
Considering I beat the game and enjoyed it
Maybe if he wasn't so
thoroughly.
busy writing so many reviews, he could focus on the quality of the ones he does write.
You do realize I wrote one review a month, and so clearly I wasn't writing a lot of reviews.
Oh, so you're saying you're not working now. What is next? What is next? I am appalled. I
And
got
when
so
was your last
excited.
review exactly?
We don't talk about that.
That's what I thought.
I was so excited when I heard the music for like the first half a second, I want to say, because I thought it was going to be Breath of the Wild 2 stuff, and then it wasn't. It was Xenoblade, and you could tell right away that it was Xenoblade. But as I said to open up the show, I think it looks great, and I'm intrigued by this one. I have to see the gameplay because I just did not like the gameplay very much, but I've heard this one's story is really good, so I'm interested.
Yeah, I am pumped for this for many reasons. Number one, I remember when Xenoblade Chronicles released in Japan, and a lot of people were excited about it, and yet it wasn't coming to the US. So they literally started this Operation Rainfall, I believe it was called. And it was to get Xenoblade Chronicles over to the Wii, because that's when it came where it came out on. And sure enough, Nintendo did do so, but obviously didn't get a lot of promotion, and it was a cult classic in every sense of the word. And then Shulk got put into Smash Bros. Because of that, and that's how we got X and 2. And then they released it on the new 3DS XL Definitive Edition, and you know, it was a slight graphical upgrade. It honestly really wasn't, and I couldn't play it because I didn't have that 3DS. And I'm pretty sure it didn't sell that well because of the whole it has to be on the new 3DS model. And so for them to do the actual definitive edition on the Switch after the success of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Tyler.
And it was a real shame that that game was successful. But,
The heck up. You know, this is exciting because, you know, a lot of people didn't get to play the first one on the Wii or the 3DS, including myself. I have not played this game, but I've heard so much about it. And so to get this, you know, graphical update, and they were showing off the models, and I'm like, they pulled those models right from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because they brought Shulk and Fiora into the 2 for some special DLC. And it was really, really awesome. They got to be some of your blades at times. And it was really cool. So to end it on this was very interesting because this is, again, a cult classic game that not a lot of people got to try. And now a lot of people will do it. And it's a port that we could honestly say deserves to be on the Switch because of its history.
It does.
So, yeah. So very quickly, let's do final thoughts and grades.
Okay.
My grade, personally, was B+.
B plus, wow.
Okay.
Here's why. They started out great with Overwatch. You know, confirming definitively we're getting Overwatch, and the release date is really, really soon. I like that Little Town Hero is helping fill out October, which I wouldn't have minded if it was a later, maybe even December, to give Nintendo an exclusive there, but, you know, what are you going to do? You know, they had good trailers for Luigi's Mansion, for Legend of Zelda, for Pokemon Sword and Shield. They had the good look at Animal Crossing, teasing what's coming. They gave us Terry Bogard, which I'm excited about, all the while teasing more DLC characters, which is awesome. And then they started to tease what's coming in 2020. We're getting Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. We're getting FE Encore. We're getting Animal Crossing. And that's only, okay, with the exception of Definitive Edition, because we don't know when that is. And then, Trials of Mana, that's coming out in April. So we basically have at least three major games in the first 4 months of the year, which is important. It's important! So, and then we have a Definitive Edition of Xenoblade Chronicles coming. My downgrade is that that's all we got in 2020. We knew about Animal Crossing. That was already foretold at E3. FE Encore, that's cool. That's a port. I don't think it'll break a million. Xenoblade will break a million. Guarantee it. And it's cool, but again, it's a port. I was honestly wondering, wow, are we going to get Xenoblade Chronicles 3 already? You know, it seemed like it, but I'm not mad. And then that's it. You know, no teases of the super IP outside of Animal Crossing, because you know there's going to be at least one more super IP for 2020, whatever it is. We don't know. But I was hoping that, much like they did last year, where they revealed Luigi's Mansion 3 and Animal Crossing was coming and et cetera, et cetera, that we would get that next super killer app that was coming in 2020. We didn't get that, but they supplemented it with all the games coming out now and in the next few months. And that was enough for me. So B+.
Well, you go next.
I'm pretty much right up there with you as a solid B+. I mean, it's definitely not A quad. It didn't blow me away. Like, I don't know. I was expecting another mind blowing character. But yeah, you pretty much nailed it on top, Todd. Like, when you begin with Overwatch, like, okay, get the easiest secret out of the way. Like, Overwatch coming to Switch, great. And then we have all these, like, new titles. I mean, it kind of goes back to my draft pick. I just wanted more JRPGs, and lo and behold, we're getting more JRPGs. And, like, I'm just really happy about it. And this direct pretty much covered if not all of the bases. Like, why not, like, just, like, really blow you out the water, like the Smash direct, like the Smash review of some sorts? It pretty much, like really covered its bases. That Banjo being shot dropped on that same day, and then review of Terry Bogard, like, that got people in a frenzy on the eastern side of things. Well, of course, we got a Sans costume, which pretty much blew everybody's mind just because on the west side, which, that's kind of funny, that Sakurai has been managing to satisfy both East and Western markets so equally, and the fact that he mentioned that he met Toby Fox and played Smash with him, like, that's kind of a nice little touch afterwards. So, and the rest of the games, like you said, like was Luigi's Mansion 3, Animal Crossing, like, really planning up for the next year. Like, I'm guessing they probably are, like, really making up for this for 2019, the first half, which was kind of a bit of a drought. So I think now, like, since we had that breather, now they can finally, like, really push out that steady stream of games that's reminiscent to the inaugural year of the Switch. So now we're finally seeing their plans for 2020. And yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, Togekiss Mirage's Sharp FE Encore. Like, heck, bring on the RPG, bring on all these content, and I'm a happy camper. So yes, B plus as well.
I think the direct can be best described as a tale of two halves, and not literally. You can describe the first half as Terry Bogard was the Smash character. It opened with Overwatch, which we already knew, and it closed with a port of Xenoblade. And then the other half is Banjo was released, Luigi's Mansion looked amazing, Animal Crossing looked great, and Pokemon looked great. So I have to give it a B minus. Because I did not, there was nothing that made me go, wow, this is crazy. Aside from the fact that Smash Bros. Is getting new DLC, which I felt was in the works. I'm not surprised by that. It was exciting to hear and have it confirmed. But this game has sold ridiculously. So you knew they weren't going to just stop. I'm glad that that was a thing. But there was nothing mind-blowing here. There was nothing horribly disappointing, either no big delays. So I would say it was about a B minus, as was last September's Direct. My expectations were low after I looked up what was in the Direct in around this time last year, and that was a pretty bland Direct. It was similar as Isabelle with the Smash character revealed. So I think the two most disappointing Smash reveals have been in September. That being said, I what was there was good. I'm confident in all the titles that are coming out, the first party titles specifically, B minus.
That's fair. All right, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you, what are your views on popular spin-offs or spin-off franchises? And 13% said love them, 75% said only if they're amazing, 13% said I prefer new IPs, and 0% said they're cheap cash grabs.
Surprising. I honestly would have thought at least one person would have voted for that bottom one. All right, so for this poll question, we're going to keep it all Nintendo Direct related. What
Yes.
was your favorite announcement from the Nintendo Direct? A, Overwatch confirmation. B, Smash Bros. DLC characters. And you can phrase it however you want, Tyler.
Right.
Let's see. C, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. Or D, all of the on-day releases. You know, like,
Right.
Definity and all of them, Kirby and all that. So I'm very interested in seeing what you say. It's all going to be Smash Brothers. I can probably just tell you that. But and then of course next week we will be back with our regularly scheduled program. But of course, let us know what you thought about the Nintendo Direct, and if you've been playing Astral Chain, do let us know. So for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You've made it to the end of the level of this definitive audition. Raise the flag.